And Lord, thank you for the quickening power. Lord, we're just grateful that, Lord, we do not sorrow as them that have no hope. That, Lord, there is abounding hope and joy through the Holy Ghost. Lord, in that quickening today, God, lift us up out of sorrow, God, guilt, shame, self-condemnation, pride, depression, sickness. Oh, God, thank you. Look to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. By that wondrous stripe, he healed. He healed. He healed it all. Thank you that you bore it all, our precious Savior. And oh, how we do long to see your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. The Song of Solomon is sure a joy. In the 7th chapter, in the 10th verse, you get kind of down towards that conclusion of it. That precious woman, the Shulamite, the Lord zeroed in on her right from the beginning. That's what the Lord's done with you with Paul's gospel. I pray you know that. I really do. I pray you really know that. This, praise his name, is the age for this dispensation, this mystery that was hidden from the sons of men, from the prophets even. And here we are in the metaphor and type of the Shulamite. You can say, why me? But he just said, it's you. It's you. It's you. He said, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. It's you. He's been dealing with my heart so sweetly, about as it says in Jeremiah there. Before I formed you, I knew you. You talk about the foreknowledge of God. Before he ever made you, he knew you. She gets to the end of this courtship. She realizes in such joy, ecstasy of heart. She cries out to him in the 10th verse of the 7th chapter. I am my beloved's. I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. It's the cry of victory. She knows that she has won him. All that time and all that courtship, from the very beginning of the Song of Solomon, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him equip me with warfare. See, that's the good fight of faith. It's the warfare of receiving the kisses of your Savior to really understand the great love that he has for you. When you understand the great love that he has for you, you overcome. No matter what you face, no matter what you do, his love exceeds it all. You begin to understand the love plan of God that, yes, before he made you, he knew you. He wove everything perfectly about your life. To come to a point today to hear this message, to really understand that he was locking in on you to receive of him this proposal that you would call back to him. I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. We just close it up and go to heaven now. I'm not going to get you anxious to get out of here. I'm praying you want to stay. But we see that word beloved. Isn't that a gorgeous word, beloved? I got chills. I'll tell you what, I don't know if I'm going to even be able to remain in my skin today. Beloved, favorite, choice one. Oh, man, the object of all my affections, the lover. In the New Testament, when you see the word beloved, it even changes over to agape. Yeah, divine, first love. And we know only the Holy Ghost can bring that. And what struck my heart was, not too long ago, I heard a man continuing to say, beloved, I'm beloved of God, I'm beloved of God, I'm beloved of God. And he kept saying it over and over and over, and I was thankful, but then it started to irritate me. And I said, no, I am my beloved's. I'm my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Now see, that can only come from really knowing and knowing the bridal love of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, the Apostle Paul, in one of the prayers that the Lord gave upon his heart, and we know this is the desire of the Lord that's coming forth from this heart that God fostered and grew to receive this message in Paul that was for us. And he says there in verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend, to know this, to understand this, with all saints, what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and the purpose that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's something about cherishing above all, brothers and sisters, his love for us. And that's what really hit me, is that man continued to say, beloved, beloved. Brothers and sisters, is it beloved of God? Or is he and we, is it our beloved? It's the same word, but you know in your heart, those are completely different meanings of utterance. I was reminded very sweetly of my courtship with my wife. And she's not here today, so I freely talk about her. That's what happens. She's listening right now, so this could be a problem. But that sweet courtship with my wife, I was grateful. You know, when I was young, she had many suitors. She did. I'm not trying to embarrass her. But I appreciated, as Brother Hill said, oh, honey, she's easy to love. Polly's easy to love. She's easy to fall in love with. As I was thinking back on that, do you know that that's you to Jesus? For him, you're easy to love. You're easy to fall in love with. And I think we can all kind of get in a way that, oh, I'm too hard for him to love, or I'm just going to be a porcupine, an idiot. Watch him try to get close to me, huh? But you know what? You're no porcupine to him. You can play as hard as you want to get with the Lord, but I'll tell you one thing about him. He'll keep coming. He'll keep coming. He won't give up. Oh, you might, but he don't. And you can thank him for that right now. Amen. But somehow, in thinking about that courtship I had with Polly, you know what? She had eyes for me. All those other suitors, she had eyes for me. Many said that it was because of a knock in the head she had as a child, but that's a different story. I like to think of it that she really did. She had these Jesse goggles or something. And when you have Jesse goggles, you know, you got to have the choice. It's got to be Jesse. That's all you're seeing. Amen? You can think that's silly, but there's one that the Lord sent. His name's the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'm going to send him to you to enlighten the eyes of your understanding, to be able to see the heart, see those eyes of the Holy Ghost. They don't just see his face, they see his heart. They see his love, how immense, how fervent and passionate it is for you. And I'll tell you what, when you put on Holy Ghost goggles, you know what? Just like Polly had to choose me, you just got to choose Jesus. Oh, it's marvelous. Because when you see through that, there's no one that can compare to him. When you begin to see the Lamb's heart, oh, this just jumped out at me. Romans 9:25. How beautiful this is, as Paul writes. As the Lord said in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people. See, that's what the Lord did. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. The Jew, they denied him. They didn't want him. But that was the plan. I'll call them my people. The people of God. I'll call them my people. But it didn't stop there. And her beloved, which was not beloved. I'm here to tell you, he calls you beloved. He doesn't just call you his people. He gave you a gospel, praise the Lord, a proposal. He calls you beloved. Very God of very God, the Lamb. Beloved. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. He calls you beloved. And you know this because as you receive this, you realize that his love for you exceeds all others. How dare you say that? Because he told you. Just like he told those wondrous types, those wondrous shadows of those wondrous women of the Old Testament. Whether it was Esther, whether it was Ruth, whether it was Abishag. He said to Esther, honey, my love for you exceeds all the other women. He said to Ruth as she gleaned in that field and just happened upon that field that day. And there came Boaz, and how many workers he would see, thousands of them and thousands of women and all of these different things. But there was just one who caught his eye. Who is that woman? Do you really see what this gospel arrays you in? Do you see the field that it puts you in? It's not you. It's Christ in you. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that praise be to God, that hope of glory that's sitting there that the Lord so sweetly gave you. Amen. Hey, in that wondrous new birth, it's there. That hope is there. And all he's longing for, will she grow up? Will she come to this place of this precious Shulamite, as she says, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. She had a little sister, we know that. And how sweet and cute, and she was part of the people, the family. But she was not ready for marriage. It said that she wasn't mature. It talks about her physics, her physical. She had no breasts. She wasn't ready for marriage. She could think about it. She could have fun with dollies and things of that nature. But the Shulamite took the message. There were the daughters of Jerusalem. There were other virgins, it says. But there was one that had the eye of the king. Brothers and sisters, when we take this, and by the enlightened eyes of understanding through the Holy Ghost, we begin to rise up in faith. You begin to come out in a boldness before him. You realize because of his grace, you captivate him. You call out to him in thanksgiving, and you take that place to say, oh Lord, I know what's yours is mine. You come to that place where the scriptures that seem so far out, heirs of God and joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, if so be we suffer together with him. The ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne, to be glorified together with him. It's not a hope of a somewhere. By the grace of God, it's mine. I rise up in boldness. I'm confident in the grace of God. I'm confident in His faithfulness to His promises, that He that has begun the good work will perform that in me. Oh my. Beloved. Beloved is bridal language. I challenge you, where do you ever hear that word in this day, in this age? The only time you'd probably ever hear it is at a wedding. My dearly beloved, we are gathered here. Beloved, praise God, is the language of wedlock. It's the language of a husband and wife. The reason most Christians say beloved instead of beloved is there's no knowledge of the bridal gospel. There isn't. Oh, they talk about a bride that's the whole family of God, but that's not the truth. That's not the word of God. You just have to choose ignorance and move through it to not receive. How many times over and over does the Lord show us from the very beginning with Adam, there's a rib portion coming out. Whether it's the virtuous woman. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. There's a choice one in there. Oh, yes. And we thank the Lord for it. We know that it's only this gospel that'll do it. But see, without understanding of Paul's gospel, you'll never receive it. Oh, there he goes again, dividing people up. That's the most ignorant statement. And matter of fact, I think it's beyond ignorant. For people that know this, that's defiant. That is absolutely defiant. And it's a hardness of heart that I pray God will break for you, because your heart's going to break. And I pray it won't be from a tear from an eye that'll have to be wiped from it, but that might be it. The word of God does divide. It divides asunder, by the way, the soul and the spirit. It says it discerns. The word of God judges the understanding of the heart. That's what that means. He wants you to understand. He didn't birth a bunch of children to remain children. I'm a parent, and I'll tell you one thing. I rejoice. I just want my sons to grow and to continue to grow. Come into understanding of the men of God that they're born to be. How much more so our Heavenly Father? And everything about the Word of God is for us to grow up. As Paul would go back to those that he gave this gospel to, and really, he did. He had to chastise them. He said, my goodness, you guys have left the truth. I got to go back and feed you with milk. You should have even been teaching the meat of the Word of God. You've left it that much that now I have to go back and feed you with milk. Shame on you. Amen. I thank God. This is a sobering time. I thank God that I believe that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let me tell you something. Paul's gospel is for everyone. It is for everyone. God desires all of his sons to have his best. All of his sons, praise God, to have full understanding. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. The full knowledge of the truth is full understanding. That's God's intention, his intention for every life, let alone every child of God, every son and daughter of the Lord, is not to remain a child and remain ignorant to the things that he has for the aristocracy of forever. That's who you are. Amen. That's who you are as a child of God. You're the aristocracy of forever. I mean, this is your birthright. This is everything that he's given. The very plan of God is invested in you. You are God's very inheritance. These are the sons that he's prepared afore unto glory. How much glory do you want to walk in there with? I want it full and overflowing in my heart for him, because he loves me so much. And he gave everything. The Father gave everything. His Son gave everything for me to have this. Amen. To receive it. To be awakened and quickened. Aren't you tired of what the world has for you yet? Aren't you tired of all of its noise and nonsense and fear? Disgusting. All the new ways of how to act insane. Aren't you tired of that? Do you know how close we are? How close we are to take flight? He that shall come will come. He ain't going to tarry. He promised. And I'll tell you one thing about the promises of God. They're yea and amen. They're true. They're true. He never forsakes. Never. It's impossible for him to lie. But I'll tell you what. We better be about beloved. Amen. See, beloved is found throughout the Word of God. But I think this is really interesting. It's so prevalent in three main places. Three. The first one you'll find, well, I'll call it the first one because I'll give that all to the Father. In the four Gospels, all right, you'll find the word beloved. It's only spoken by one person, and that's the Father. And it's only being spoken about one person, and that's his Son. So whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that beloved is about my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, head over heels about. He's all in all. Amen. And you think about that, and I'm not trying to get too brainy on you, because I don't have one. I was horrible at any type of grammar. Grammar. See, I can't even pronounce it. So that's right. You already know that because I preached to you. Wait, never mind. But my beloved Son, that's a precious adjective. It's a describing of that favor and love, that agape divine love for his Son. It's amazing. But then, the next place, you go all the way back in the Word of God, right where we're at today, in the Song of Solomon. And in the Song of Solomon, which is so beautiful, it's eight chapters. Just eight chapters. In the Old Testament, eight chapters for one book is small. But most of them have many chapters. But of all the books of the Bible, in the Song of Solomon, the word beloved is found more than any. 33 times. 33. I remember a 33-year-old fella. His name was Jesus. And at 33, he was ready to be offered. Just like the very last beloved of the Song of Solomon. She was fully grown, complete, ready. Amen? Now there's something even more beautiful about that as well. That word beloved is still only spoken by one person in the Song of Solomon. It's only spoken by her of him. It's all him. He's my beloved. I'm his beloved. That's her speak. That's everything that is in her heart. Everything that he is to her. And that beloved is no longer an adjective. That beloved is a noun. It's the sole object of her every thought. It's the sole object of all of her desire and her affection. It's my one, it's my only. And yes, beloved is my lover. Finally, and I guess you probably already guessed, the next one is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, in his wondrous epistles, he mentions the word beloved 31 times. 31. And I love those number studies because you know what number 31 is? It means offspring. And it's perfect because you know who he says beloved to? the offspring of Paul's gospel. Those that are partakers of, as Paul said, my grace. Isn't that amazing? See how perfect that is? See how beautiful and precise and exact? Paul uses that word, beloved, exclusively for the brethren of like precious faith. Exclusively. For those that are the yoke fellows in Christ. Ones like Timothy and Luke, Philemon, Apphia, Tychus, the Romans, the Ephesians. But maybe best of all, as we close this today, the Philippian thoroughbreds, the Philippian war horses. In the third chapter, Paul tells those people, I should say not people, excuse me, those beloved, in the 10th verse, that I may know him. He tells them that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Oh man. He begins then, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I might be in that resurrection out from the resurrection. Go look that up. It's the only place you'll find it. That I might be in that resurrection of the first trumpet rapture. Because every man's going in his own order. So see, that whole church, the bride, shuts that down just in one verse. He said, not as though I had already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that which for I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind and reach forth to the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he tells them things like that. You go on over to verse 17. He says, brethren, be followers together of me. You mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. He goes on and tells them in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, honeys, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then he continues on and says this most beautiful statement. After saying all the things and encouraging them, go after the one thing. Don't miss it. Win that bridegroom. Come on. This is ours. This is ours. He says in verse 1 of the 4th chapter, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I'll tell you what, you think he wanted them to know how much he loved them to win Christ's best and to win that high calling crown? And I'm going to say this, you can't deny this. You cannot deny it. Oh, no, you can't. You can refuse it. You can reject it. But you can't deny it. Oh, no. Because the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. That's what's so beautiful. And that's what makes me happy. And I am bold in the Lord by the grace of God. I'm not ashamed. I am proud of the gospel of Christ. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm also proud of that gospel today. That by the grace of God, hallelujah, he's allowed me to gather with the dearly beloved. Isn't that awesome? I mean, you understand, I we're not in the waiting room. We've boarded. We're loaded. I'm telling you, It's right there. It's on the runway. The plane's sitting on the numbers. And they're just waiting for the Father. Take off. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it grand that we gather together? We gather together, dearly beloved, to say as one, I am my beloved's and his desire, praise God, is toward me. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. And again, just thank you. And thank you. And thank you. And thank you. Lord, the joy and peace in believing. The abounding hope that you give by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, thank you for this love that you shed abroad in our hearts. The tuning, God, that's going forth. The perfecting of your saints, Lord God. The sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. That soon the manifestation of those sons. The glory which your grace has grown. The glory which your grace has and will deliver to you, the bridegroom. Thank you. And thank you. Lord, ceasing in thanksgiving for your precious son. We know that this is to your keeping. We know that, praise the Lord, we are your workmanship. And thankful that faithful and true is our God. And in him we give all the thanksgiving and praise forever and soon face to face. In Jesus' name.